Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome to the second hour here on Circles of Change and all the holiday vim and vigor. Get out there and support your local merchants and enjoy whatever .coms you're surfing to with regard to that. And as well, a shout out and encouragement to those of you that are wrapping up year-end business engagements and also our students studying for their final exams. Well, in the studio today, it's always a pleasure to have a guest as well as support the local community and their businesses, and that's Kent McManus from Grey Dog Trading Company. How are you this morning, Kent?
Good. How are you?
Terrific. Well, it's not often that you meet someone who's a fulfilling a lifelong dream that began as a hobby at age 3 to start a business when he was a senior in college. And that's the case with Kent McManus and his wife, Lori. They moved to Tucson in 1989, and they have 50 years combined experience. Actually, we probably need to add more data to that. In Native American art, Kent is a frequent judge at juried events and is the author of 5 books on Navajo rugs, Hopi casino dolls, and Grey Dog's hallmark, the small stone animal sculptures known as fetishes that carry ceremonial and religious meaning for the select tribes of Native Americans. Grey Dog Trading Company recently relocated to St. Phyllis Plaza on River and Campbell from its longtime home in Plaza Palomino. Kent also has a strong online presence through the web, and it is as much an educational center as it is a specialty store dedicated to connecting customers new and old to the mysteries of the Southwest. Kent is also every bit the traveler, with over 1,000 trips to 180 reservations to find Grey Dog's unique merchandise, plus collects some very entertaining stories along that way. So started collecting at age 3. And who would have thought, Kent, that you're now sitting here telling me, which I know you will, that you have no intentions of ever retiring?
That is absolutely true. People keep saying, so, when you get to be such and such an age, you will be retiring and doing what? And I keep saying, I will be retiring when they pull me out the door feet first.
Feet first. Well, and I tell you, it really speaks a lot to give you credit, too, that this idea of taking a leap of faith or a jump or grabbing an opportunity, the fact that you've just recently moved your store, because you were at Plaza Palomino here in Tucson for how long?
We were there 16 and a half years.
16 and a half years, yeah. And then recently the opportunity to move to a new location. I mean, this, the idea of moving, you know, I mean, some of us, the idea of finding all the nooks and crannies of stuff hidden in the garage, was it somewhat like that, finding old friends you realize you hadn't even put up in that cupboard?
It was a bit daunting at times, yes, but basically it wasn't too bad. We had a lot of help, and it went smoother than we thought. We actually were only closed for 2 days, which was the miracle. So, but that was a lot of prepacking, of course. But actually, the fun thing is we started originally in St. Phillips Plaza a long time ago, and then unfortunately there wasn't a space big enough for us at the time, so we moved over to Plaza Palomino. And we loved it there for the time we were there, but it was just one of those right time, right place moves that could happen, so we took it.
And who would have thought? So you're really coming full circle, in other words, back to where you started.
Absolutely right.
But the plaza, that St. Phyllis Plaza, I suspect that was a different place than it was back then.
It is. It is a much more improved plaza. The owner has done a great job with the plaza. It has a lot of wonderful events. Of course, we have that phenomenal Sunday farmers market that's just huge. The plaza itself is basically filled, which is really nice. And in this day of economic turmoil, that is pretty much a rarity anymore. So he's managed to do, again, just a marvelous job with
and
the place.
And that brings then a vitality and a vibrancy of the whole community that's up there. And there's quite a diversity, right? We have got restaurants as well as clothing stores to collectible art.
Right. For example, the fellow next to me is Alfonso, is a fellow who does, he dispenses his own olive oil and balsamic vinegar.
So who would think a whole store just dedicated to
that? Exactly. Well, you know, as opposed to a soda jerk, he's an olive oil jerk.
So. Okay. Well, take us back for the audience that might not be familiar, Kent, Gray Dog Trading Company, and take us on a virtual tour now of your new location and the type of products that you provide.
Well, we're very thrilled with our new spot. It's almost entirely wood, which is one of the things we like the most. It's very organic. We carry just a range of things from all over Native America. We carry Inuit sculpture from up in the Arctic. We carry basketry from many different tribes. We, of course, carry the Zuni fetishes. In fact, that's where I'm heading tomorrow, is back to Zuni. Get more toys, as I like to call them.
And tell, for our listeners who don't know, where is Zuni?
Zuni is northern New Mexico. It's roughly 300 miles from Tucson, up the lovely drive of Salt River Canyon, which the first 400 times I did it, I might have paid attention, but I don't much anymore. it is a small village, about 10,000 people, south of Gallup, New Mexico.
So, and why or how did your attraction to Zuni come?
It was just part of the whole fetish mystique for me. I was given a fetish, which I have on today, and I still wear when I was about 11, by an old trader friend of mine. And it was one of those things that I enjoyed wearing, but it was really my wife, Lori, that got me interested in them. She had, as a child, given rocks and things to her relatives for gifts. And when she saw fetishes, it was like, oh, yeah, these are really cool. And so I became more interested in them. And
so, again, for those who might not know, explain to us what a fetish is. We've got three in front of us right now. And, again, by the way, for those of you streaming, you can go out on www.grey.com. Take a look online with us, but describe what we mean when we say they are not just rocks, obviously.
Right, exactly. They basically are carvings of different animals. Different animals have different functions for the Zuni. For example, carving of a bear that we have. Bears are the healing animal. They're the ones that keep you well, and that's what I wear personally. We have a frog. For example, frogs are the, actually a couple of different things. They help bring rain, so we can obviously use them here in Tucson. And they also are associated with children. So, for example, right now we are 43 out of 48. We've had 48 people try and get pregnant that have not had any success whatsoever. They keep a frog by the bed. And 43 out of 48 have gotten pregnant.
How about that? Yeah. So it's another compliment for fertility treatment.
Right, exactly right. And so far, quite effective one. The other one that we have showing here, for example, is a mountain lion. And mountain lion is the big travel protector. Mm-hmm. So it's also the strength animal. So, for example, for a lot of the folks that you're dealing with, obviously, on this program, mountain lion would be a really good fetish to have, because it is the one that gives you strength in adversity. It is the one that leads you down the path properly. A lot of things of that nature. So
the other thing that I see on this mountain, I'll explain the kind of stone that would have been used for this carving.
This particular one is alabaster.
Alabaster is beautiful white.
They do alabasters. They do, the little frog is serpentine, the green serpentine. The bear is actually a black marble. But, of course, they use turquoise. They use a lot of local stones to Zuni, but they are just as likely to use, for example, lapis from Afghanistan, or, for example, you will run into rhodochrosite, which is either Canadian or South American. You get all kinds of different stones from all over the world. They, like all the rest of us, come down to Gem Show and buy all kinds of cool stones. So,
and then transpose their art and their vision.
Correct.
I know, I'd said in the introduction, you've made 1,000 trips to 180 reservations, and folks, when Kent said the 400 times he's been back and forth up to Zuni, he's really done that trip, by the way. So this is not just a pick a wild one out for effect. It's truly the amount of time you've spent on the road cultivating these relationships and meeting these people.
Right.
Those first few trips, I'd said you'd started collecting since you were three, mm-hmm. and it was in college where you really turned it into or recognized an opportunity for a business.
Right.
But over the years, I think, I would suspect this is also really about building the kind of relationships with people they trust you regarding just the bartering, the selling process, but also to invest the opportunity of this beautiful artwork with you that it will be authentically then taken to the next owner.
Right. We, in a strange sort of way, I always liken myself to the Fetish Humane Society. We try to find good homes for nice fetishes. But it's true. The relationships are hands down the most important part of my business, and actually the most fun part of my business. because to develop a really good relationship with a number of these carvers, whether they be fetish carvers, whether they be Hopi Katsina doll carvers, whether they be Navajo weavers, it's really the relationships and the seeing old friends effect that really is wonderful every time. I'm looking forward to going to Zuni. The minute I pull over the hill and you can see Zuni spread before you,
it's like coming home.
It really is.
It is.
It really is.
Well, also, Kent, I know at Gray Dog Gallery, you folks often have very special dedicated shows. You've got one coming up, don't you?
We do. We have one coming up next weekend. It'll be the 9th and 10th, so it's Friday and Saturday of next week. And we will have literally hundreds of fetishes. That's part of why I'm going up there, obviously, to
get them. Scoop up some last purchases,
yes,
to fill the show.
Yes, and which will be interesting because Tuesday at Zuni is what they call Shalako, which is the High Holy Days at Zuni. So it's I'm really going to have to work fast. But anyhow.
Then we should also let people know that might have an interest in seeing the fetishes, or certainly if there's any collectors that are listening in. You know, literally when Kent's doors open, these things fly off the shelf,
don't they?
So
they
by
do.
The end of the afternoon on Saturday, it's probably going to be slim pickings compared to what you'd see on Friday.
That is correct. Yeah, we usually have people waiting at the door on Friday morning, and they will, again, as you say, there will be a large crowd, no question about it, most of the day.
And the price range from your for your fetishes?
Anywhere, actually, from $6 to $9 on up to, some of them can be above $1,000 if you get a particularly well-known artist, a particularly large piece, or a particularly unusual stone.
And by large piece, how big is large?
Large, well, for example, we have one in the store right now that's probably about 6 or 7 inches tall.
Because in general, they're about an inch and a half by an inch and a half type.
Well, they're primarily made as a personal fetish. So it's primarily made something that you can wear in a pouch around your neck, or carry in your purse, carry in your pocket, whichever the case
may
be.
Put next to your computer for all those bold times you want to put the rock through the computer.
Right. Although I found the computer people particularly like to get RAMs because, of course, they want more RAM.
Ha ha. Oh, dear, that
it's
is a
true.
Bad pun.
It's
is it true, though?
It's true.
Is it really?
Yes, it is.
It's laughable. Well, I can tell, again, for those of you who are thinking about a unique holiday gift, regardless of which religious denomination or even birthday gifts, and certainly for people relocating, these are wonderful housewarming gifts. We've done that countless times. And for children, of course, that's how I got connected with Ken, as we've been coming to your store since the first weekend we moved to Tucson in 2004. It's like going to the library in some regard, because you can stroll the cabinets, and mm-hmm. Kent will lovingly take each fetish out and display it on a piece of suede. And so it teaches a reverence for art and jewelry and many regards. But for children, the connectivity to animals is just so lovely.
Absolutely. We've had, I can't tell you how many 5- and 6-year-olds we've started collecting fetishes over time. Because they come in and obviously they see their first little bear or their first little whatever. Of course, all the boys want snakes. But
then more power to them. Yeah, that is just fine. Give them the snakes.
They're big on snakes and lizards. But anyhow.
We have a dear friend from back in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And they came for a trip here to Tucson. And the first thing they want to do was come and look at the bear collection, because the gentleman has been collecting fetishes since he was very, very young. He had never been to a Southwest establishment before to do it, though he'd always bought them over the Internet or some other trading mechanism.
Yep. No, it's a lot more fun when you can actually have them in your hand. I mean, don't get me wrong. We do a lot of business over the Internet, obviously. I would say probably 40% of my customers I've never met in my life, which is sort of unfortunate, but that's the way life is these days.
But they're repeat customers, though. And just the way you phrase that up is you have a relationship with them, which is what the collectible art world really is all about.
Absolutely. And we have customers literally Japan, Australia, Great Britain, Germany, you name it. We have them all over the world. Mm-hmm. So, these are not just popular in the Southwest. They are universally accepted and collected.
Well, and I think, again, it's because there's also that meaning that comes with them. There's some inherent power for those who believe.
Right. Absolutely. It is one of those things. It's like anything else. If you don't think it's going to work, it probably won't work for you. If you have any feeling about the piece and you have the feeling that perhaps the bear might keep you well, perhaps the mountain lion might help you when you travel or to give you a little extra strength, and obviously the frog, it really does happen. I can't tell you how many people have come in that had cancer, that had some disease of one kind or another, took a bear fetish with him to the hospital, kept it with him even in the operating room. I've heard of cases of that. And the comeback, just fine. Thank you very much.
So, and now, Kent, over the years, I'd mentioned also in your introduction, this isn't just about Kent being a font of connectivity to find these priceless little items, but also you've stepped out and contributed to your field by publishing a book.
Right.
And it's in its third release.
Right. On,
and it's one that can follow the lineage of the actual artists, if I recall.
Correct. Yeah, we have all the family trees, which was sort of like doing a mystery novel, who's connected to who.
Ooh,
that
right.
was half the fun. We also, it talks about what the specific animals do as far as the Zuni are concerned. And we also talk a little bit about the materials that they use, the minerals, the different things like that, so you can sort of identify what you might have as far as stone is concerned.
At the tribe level, let's take Zuni for an example, though, are they indeed finding their young people wanting to continue the artisan capability of the elders?
Absolutely. The frog that we have here, again, is done by an 18-year-old young man.
Oh, my goodness.
And his cousin, who is also 18, has actually become quite a star in the fetish carving field. We usually have him along with his uncle for a show here in April.
And they'll actually carve it on display then?
They don't usually, and the reason is very simple, because it kicks up a tremendous amount of dust, which is not the best thing in the world to have in the store.
Well, and also some of that dust is pretty lethal, isn't it? Because some of these stones can be toxic.
It can be, yeah. If you're carving malachite, for example, you really don't want to be having anything unless you have a really good mask and apparatus system, etc., to get all that stuff out of there.
So Kent, Grey Dog Trading Company started with fetishes.
Mm-hmm.
Now you've expanded into other products. So briefly tell us about, for example, the Navajo rugs that you have.
Right.
Gorgeous.
We do obviously Navajo weavings. We have a fellow on staff named Robert Jeffries. Bob is not only a connoisseur of rugs, he also knows how to weave Navajo weavings.
So for anyone who might need a repair done or to compliment that he could take
he can help
care
do
of
that.
What's the oldest rug that you have in your possession?
At the minute, we have one from about 1910. We have a couple from 1940. Primarily, our goal has always been to deal with contemporary art more than older art, however, mostly because that's how you keep the art form going. If we don't keep the current artists working, producing, and making wonderful things that they make, the art form will die. And Navajo weaving is one of those that could happen too, unfortunately, just because it is so time-consuming. Too.
Right.
But
and then the baskets, the line of baskets.
Basketry, yep. We have basketry from Navajo. We have Tana'atam baskets. We have baskets from even there's a young man that just came in and brought us a couple things from Maine. So again, we have things from all over.
From a tribe that's
yes,
based on
yeah, the Maliseet tribe, which is a little tribe, and people not too many know about the Maliseets up there, up by Holton, Maine, way up
in the outer reaches.
So yep, exactly.
And then I also know that over the years you've complimented the artistic art, I'll call it, with the literal art by having books that have been written by Native Americans.
Yes, we have a wide selection of books. We have a number of things on jewelry, we have on pottery, we have on different subjects. We also have a lot of children's books.
Children's books is so wonderful because of the rhymes, the simplicity of the messages of the Native American legends are so endearing for children.
Right, exactly. And, of course, in a slightly different vein, we also have, for mom and dad, especially for Christmas time, we have a lot of jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we primarily carry Southwestern jewelry, which would be Navajo and Zuni and Santo Domingo, which is a pueblo between Albuquerque and Santa Fe and Hopi and things like that. But we occasionally get a little further afield and get some things from other people as well.
Again, I think for our listeners, obviously we frequent your shop, as well as I'm glad my husband frequents your shop when my birthday's coming up, that the jewelry items that you carry indeed, you know, from a $15 pair of earrings that are just lovely inlaid turquoise or some other stone, all the way up into much more expensive and elaborate pieces. So you really do a nice job of appealing to the variety of potential economic places that shoppers can be in.
Right. We believe in just because somebody buys a $10 pair of earrings, it should be a really good $10 pair of earrings. If they buy a $1,000 pair of earrings, probably odds are it's going to be a very good pair of
earrings. $1,000 earrings, exactly.
So,
well,
yeah.
Kent, those 180 reservations that you've come to visit over the years, it must be quite an education for you thus in these 40 years to see how much those destination spots themselves have changed.
Absolutely.
Some of the insights you'd like to share with our listeners.
Well, unfortunately, there is still, of course, fairly rampant pottery on most of the reservations. I wish I could say otherwise. There are a couple I truly love. There's one up in Minnesota. There's one in Southern California, where they're not so much producing the art form, but they have phenomenally successful casinos.
Yeah, right.
And they actually have gated communities. You can't get on the reservation. You have to go through a guard to get on the reservation. So that does happen too, don't get me wrong, but the vast majority of them know it. Unfortunately, it's still pretty much living below the poverty line in most cases. A lot of reservations sadly have lost what they do as far as arts and crafts are concerned, for various reasons. Either it was too time consuming, they could get a job at a 7-Eleven and do better. That happens a lot. But it's nice when you go to a reservation where they still do beadwork, or they still do basketry, or they still
And if I recall, that was actually one of your compelling reasons to get involved in this trade. You did your academic work in the social services area,
right,
didn't you? And
right,
this idea of wanting to be part of the culture, of preserving the culture and providing a means of economic well-being, wasn't just to go inside and help them learn how to do different crafts, but, gee, how to truthfully and equitably,
right,
get their products to market.
Right. I initially wanted to be a social worker, and I particularly wanted to work with Native people. And the more I realized the government red tape that I was going to have to deal with, it was going to be a much better thing to actually deal with them on an economic basis, mm-hmm, where they could earn a living doing something that was culturally valuable to them as well.
That's right. So, I think the other final thing, of course, I want to mention with Kent's story is also Lori in the mix of here, because if I recall, she was a customer of yours.
Yes, and 37 years ago, yesterday, was the day she walked into the shop.
And notice that, ladies, he remembers the date.
Yes.
I challenge us how many of our husbands would recall that. Well, congratulations to the two of you in that regard.
Thank you.
So you were just a rookie in the business then, just three years into it.
I was a punk kid.
Yeah. and you've kept her for that long, and she's kept you. Well, that's great.
Right.
So, Kent, again, tell our listeners where your shop is located.
Yes, we're at St. Philip's Plaza. The actual address is 4320 North Campbell. It's Suite 130. We are down towards the corner of Vivace Restaurant and not too far from where the Windmill Inn is as well.
That's great, which is, of course, then makes it a lovely place for out-of-town visitors that they can pick up a nice gift to take home.
Yep, absolutely.
That's well. And then, Kent, also you can visit his store on the internet at Greydog, GREYDOG trading.com, or also contact them at 881-6888. And by the way, the name, of course, of your gallery is after your special dog, Teddy, right?
Right, Teddy, and one of his predecessors as well. We've always had a heeler, and they're gray, of course, and we have one now, too.
That's great. Well, it's a lovely connection, then, with the idea of fetishes. And by the way, Ken had jokingly referred to this segment as how to talk about your fetishes without involving a psychiatrist. So I would tell you that the opportunity to go visit he and his colleagues would also be a pleasurable experience with lots of humor and lots of insight. So again, Zuni Show coming up on December 10th, 9th and 10th at St. Phyllis Plaza, as well as this evening.
This evening we have an event at the plaza. It is, an event for the Junior League. And there will be food, there will be singing, there will be all kinds of toys.
So, that's right.
Come on by. Starts
at 4 o'clock. So between that and, of course, the wonderful Sunday markets where Kent and his colleagues now are open on Sundays because of that to capture it. So riding that wave of change for you, we wish you all the very best as you come full circle back to St. Phillips Plaza with the Grey Dog Trading Company.
Much appreciated.
Thank you. Happy holidays.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, 877-544-2580.